of carrying around the feeling I'm powerless and something I'm wrong because I'm not the whole universe like I used to be, which you experienced as a baby. It must be incredibly painful. The moment not just of physical birth, but of psychological birth, of the experience of separateness as an entity, when you have been the whole thing. I've described in many lectures the experience in Hawaii with that community of meditators where finally they had pushed me to my limits and they all had their hands on my body and I was screaming and screaming and screaming as to their orders. And suddenly I was back in a crib in my room at home and I was screaming the same way. And my mother was holding me down, just had her hand on my chest. And the look was a look of, I don't know what the look was. That would be projecting. All it was the experience of loss of power. I was having a temper tantrum, obviously, of some sort. And she was just being a good mother. She wasn't giving way to it. She wasn't reinforcing temper tantrums, which you didn't do in those days. Later you did. And look what happened. But she didn't. And she wasn't out of a, like, I'm a mean mother. She was just calming me down. But it was firm. And the firmness had a resistance to my power. I couldn't control the situation anymore. And the experience was one of loss of power. And when I see, when I look at business and I look at government and I look into the personalities of all of the politicians, and don't you see all that fear and don't you see all that sense of not being powerful enough? And if I had the power, it would all be all right. We are caught in a drama so thick of ego. Ego structures, ego constructs that have come out of our intellectual extrapolations from our basic root conceptual models of who am I and how the world works, which has to do with fear, it has to do with feelings of pain of separateness, it has to do with power, it has to do with a yearning to come back to a certain feeling at home in the universe. At om, at one. Mm. And I think most of what we live with in politics, in business, in most of our professions, most of our lifestyles, deeply, deeply, deeply emerged in these particular conceptual plane of reality that everybody conspires to see as real. And with aging, it's absolutely amazing how this society conspires to define what aging is and then sucks everybody into believing it's true and then they live it out. And it's a hype. It is a complete hype. It's a creation of mind. So that if you look at aging in almost all the literature, it is seen as a problem. That's the first one. It's that bizarre. You know, it's like the leaves turn red in the fall and you say, we got a problem. Let's get out there with a green can and paint them all green. What the hell? We can't have these leaves turning red. What's that about? It's so absolutely bizarre. Bizarre. The first thing you have to realize is you're in prison. You've been had. You bought into a conceptual model that you got trained into from birth to deal with your separateness, and it's a whole structure that you've invested with reality. And from your point of view, it's the only reality most of the time. When my father would say, Richard, come back to reality, that's the one he meant. Now, where are all the other planes of reality when we're so busy investing in this one rather uninteresting plane? It's not uninteresting. It's actually passionately beautiful, but it's also uninteresting. If it's your only one, it's like not having cable. But But the minute you realize you are in prison, that's the relative reality perception. You realize you got a problem. You realize there's more than one channel. You realize there's another place from which to look. However you want to say it, you understand the theory of relativity. You understand that everything is real depending on where you're looking at it from. Just like you dreamt last night, and in that dream, that stuff was real. And you woke up, and then you said, I woke up into what? I mean, you ultimately must realize you just woke up into another one of them. And once I had realized that I was in prison, which is what my first mushroom trip absolutely ascertained for me with certainty, or as certain as relative reality can get, I looked back at all the years in which I had taken it all so, quote, seriously, and I thought, didn't I have any clues, any of those years? I mean, did I go 30 years without a clue that I was caught in some weird group psychosis? At that time, I didn't quite see it. Over the years, I began to see that as my vision of where I was looking from changed, then a number of things that had been in the background in my life started to come out as figure, and things that were figures started to recede into background, and suddenly I could see that there was a web of that information and that wisdom available, but I was busy not seeing it because of the intense nature of the plane I was seeing. The interesting example of that predicament was the one in which my guru said to me on the second time I saw him, your mother is a great saint. And I said, didn't Maharaji say was a great saint? And the translator asked Maharaji, Maharaji said, no, is a great saint. And she was dead, so she was a dead great saint. So what was that? And what I experienced at the moment he said that was the realization that my mother wasn't who I had thought she was. That I had trapped her in being that Jewish middle class, nurturing, very responsible mother. And that was just who she had incarnated as. And he was saying, she's a great being. And suddenly, at that moment, there was a reversal. And the very few, maybe four or five times in our life that I could remember, when there had been that reversal and where we had recognized one another as fellow beings. One of the examples is, she and I were coming back from the dentist's. I was maybe nine or so. And we came to a stoplight, and we were playing a game to see who could hold a note the longest. And we were both screaming at the top of our lungs. And we looked over, and there was a man in the next car looking at us as if we were both completely insane. And there was a moment when our whole game of mother and child dissolved into the hate of the moment. And at that moment, we were outside of our roles for a moment and then back in. And those were so few, and yet they had existed. And it's interesting, after he said that, ever after, that's who she and I have been with one another. And all that other stuff has disappeared or dissolved into the ground. And it's why I say to people when they're grieving, you're grieving for all the forms of the incarnation, but why you're grieving is because you connected with love to the deeper nature of the other person. And when you stop filling your mind with your self-pity, anger, hope, fear, wishing, da-da-da, and quiet, you experience nothing happened. Nobody went anywhere. It is barely because I've measured you in terms of your forms. I've reduced you into form. And now you're dead and you up-leveled me. You said, find me now. Go ahead. You really love me? Find me. And you keep wanting the form back, because that's the one that turns you on.